Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mully and Hall. Mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
His message to us is just to live in the moment, game by game, and don't look ahead because, you know, anything can happen. So right now we're just taking it day by day and game by game.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That is the voice of Zion Williamson, soon to be Bull. No, maybe not. I don't know. We'll find out tonight when they play Phoenix. We are delighted to welcome in Tim Brando from Fox Sports. He joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram Hotline, home of $7,000 off on Jeeps. Hey, Tim, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Tim.
Wow, Mully and Haw, and I'm in Naples, Florida today to break down the brackets with some people with Naples Next and Old Chicago and Charlie Besser and Intersport. So yeah. I'm living life large with
nice.
You guys. It's like a Chicago feel, and I'm in Naples, Florida. How good is that?
Wow, yeah. You're living the dream.
Very good for you.
Tim, help us out. Okay, we just heard from Zion Williamson there, and obviously we've seen Duke with him and seen Duke without him, and he's had an unbelievable season. And does he remind you of anyone? Can he? Do you look at him and say, that's Dominique Wilkins, cross genes with Charles Bark? I mean, how do you?
But you know what? That's the first time I've heard that one, and that actually might be the most accurate depiction, if you're going to make a comparison, that I've ever heard. It may be unfair to compare, really, because he's a generational talent. I look at the years that I've been covering basketball, not just college basketball, but basketball in general. Jordan was a generational talent. And you may have said, well, in college, we didn't know that. And you'd probably be accurate. But that old axiom, the only guy that could hold down Michael Jordan was Dean Smith because of the way North Carolina played, was really true. I mean, there was a lot of truth to that. Dean was going to use his bench. There were only so many minutes, and there was a system in play. But as a collegian, the only guys I can compare him to would be big, powerful post players. Patrick Ewing, Ralph Sampson, who played more outside in and inside out, and Shaquille O'Neal, who was a player that ran the floor for a man his size. And he wasn't nearly as big, obviously, in college as he became in the NBA, but he was still bigger than anyone we'd ever seen that could run the floor like that. And certainly none of those guys could take the ball out on the floor and handle it the way Zion can handle it. Could find ways to get to the lane without charging. You know, he can contort his body without picking up player control fouls for a 6'8", 6'7 and a half, 275, 280-pound man in ways that I've never seen. And I had seen him for 33 seconds only in the Duke Carolina game that we called on Raycom. And this past weekend, we put Raycom Sports to bed with our final ACC tournament. And I got to see him for the first time for a full, 40 minutes in the championship game. And he's incredible. And as good as Duke is as a team, without him, they are just a top 10 team. With him, they are a dominant team. And I've got them getting all the way to the finals as a result of Zion being there. But I just think the competition level of this tournament is still going to be fantastic. It'll be a lot of fun to watch, and more than just because of Zion. But when people start talking about, I'm sick and tired of hearing about Zion. Well, get ready because you're sick and tired of hearing about LeBron. This is your next LeBron. And LeBron would have been a generational player in college had he gone to college. He just didn't.
Absolutely right. I mean, this is his tournament. It's their time. And you get the sense, Tim, and you saw all the teams in the ACC tournament, and three of the four top seeds came from that league, but you get the sense that the Duke is the team to beat. And does Duke have to lose the tournament for someone else to win it? And that, I mean, they're not a good three-point shooting team. They're a young team. Do they have to have a misstep for someone else to take advantage?
Well, I think maybe all the way to the Final Four, they'd have to have a misstep. I don't see, and I know the people are, you know, a lot of people saying it's the toughest region and they're the overall number one seed. There's a lot of truth to that. Virginia Tech has beaten them, and they'll play them in the Sweet 16 if chalk holes. And Virginia Tech's beaten them, and they're getting Justin Robinson back. Maryland is, I think, a real sleeper team to get to the Sweet 16. And Michigan State is, obviously, you can make a case as the Big Ten champions and a team that beat Michigan to get to the NCAAs this year. That's a team that, frankly, you know, from a toughness standpoint, you'd think would be a tough out in the Elite Eight. But Duke is better than all of those teams. I think they're going to run into trouble when they play a club that has no fear of Zion and has dealt with him before. And that's what I see when they play North Carolina in the finals. I think there will be a Duke Battle of the Blues Chapter 4. And North Carolina shoots the ball well enough. Okay, Duke, their Achilles heel is their three-point shooting. They were 2 of 14 against Florida State. That's not good enough. Now, they had just enough to beat North Carolina because Zion Williamson willed their way to the win. North Carolina is sick and tired of hearing about Zion Williamson. North Carolina is sick and tired of not getting their just due as a blue blood. And I think in a rematch setting in the national championship can beat them, and that's what I'm predicting.
When we look at a team like Virginia, I think, you know, I don't think anybody's saying that the ACC doesn't deserve three number one seeds just based on everything that's happened all year long and certainly what's going on with Zion Williamson being out and then coming back and how good they are with him. But Virginia is the only team ever to lose to a 16 seed, and they did it last year, and now here they are again. Now, you know, you can argue that they've got their own lottery pick on that roster, and that you look at the bracket, and it looks like a pretty good bracket for them. Is their style of play, Tim, just the way the grindy offense and the defensive-minded coach and the way they play, does that make them hard to put together a run in the tournament? Because while they're gonna win, they're also grinding out wins. They're not really dominating. Now they got the 3-and-D lotto pick. Maybe they're a different team.
Well, DeAndre Hunter is a lottery pick.
Yeah.
And Kyle Guy and Ty Jerome are both pros. They're going to play at the next level. In Kihei Clark, though, this is the difference. And they're not, if you haven't seen enough of Virginia, they're not the typical Virginia team. They're not the same plodding offense that relies just on the pack line defense. Jack Salt has actually become much more of an option inside. He's more athletic than you think. But this kid, Kihei Clark, that they picked up, little freshman, enables them to get some turnovers and quick baskets. He also allows Jerome and Guy to play off the ball, which I don't know of anyone better than Jerome running a curl off the ball for a catch and shoot off a pick. I mean, he's just fantastic. They have had their moments. Florida State did beat them the other day. I saw the game, had the game. And Florida State is a team that you probably don't need to sleep on and on their half of the bracket either because of their physicality and their depth. But Virginia is a team that I think, you're right, the draw is good. I think they got an easier draw than Duke. But I think they're going to run into a Tennessee team in the Elite Eight that will give them a problem. Tennessee losing the way they did to Auburn is only going to make Rick Barnes' squad that much tougher in this tournament. And I think that's the one ACC team that is going to go down and not make it to the Final Four. I think Tennessee, with Williams and Admiral Schofield, they got a lesson taught to them by Auburn in the SEC championship. And this is a veteran team, a big-time veteran team that I think could get it all the way to the NCAA Final Four. So that's my other pick that you need to keep an eye on, along with Texas Tech. Texas Tech is the team coming out of the other region that I feel has a great opportunity to make it all the way to the national championship.
Tim, here in Chicago, we've been spoiled the last couple of years. We've seen a local story become a national sort of curiosity Northwestern 2 years ago, and last year with Loyola. You mentioned your Final Four teams, but if there's a mid-major team, if there's a team that nobody's looking at that has a possibility of capturing everybody's imagination, is any team come to mind?
Well, Nevada, you know, they were a Sweet 16 team a year ago. Eric Musselman's done a really good job. They are matched up, and I think the winner of that game, actually, even if it's not Texas Tech, let's say it's Buffalo. If Buffalo beats Texas Tech in the second round, I think they've got a really good shot. They'll more than likely have to play St. John's. The winner of the Arizona State St. John's play-in game will play Buffalo. That guy's done a hell of a job, and I think they are built for success. But Texas Tech is just loaded. And defensively, you know, Chris Beard has just a team that will get up in your chin, in your grill, turn the game into an absolute grind, very similar to what Eric Musselman likes to do. I just think because Nevada's been there before, that's a team to really keep an eye on. The other club that sort of jumps out at me that nobody really wants to address is, and I think they're the kind of team that, you know, if they win one game, there's no reason why they couldn't win a second game and get on a roll. And again, New Mexico State is a team that's been, I think, in 7 of the last 8 tournaments. They have always had a chance to win their first round game. They've never really been blown out, and they're going to get Auburn, a team that relies so heavily on the three-point shot.
Right.
And they made a ton of them, obviously. And Bruce Pearl is doing with the talent he has at Auburn all he can. But they got punched out in the second round last year. And I think when you live and die solely by the three, a bad shooting night can really hurt you. New Mexico State is a team to keep an eye on. If they happen to win then, they get Kansas. They get Kansas in the second round potentially. And we know the Jayhawks are struggling. So if you're looking for a super Sweet 16 team that would really shock the world, New Mexico State may be that team.
I like it.
We'll let you go, Tim. Just curious, Florida State, that bracket's interesting. Gonzaga, you got Syracuse there. You got Murray State with a future pro. Marquette obviously struggled a little bit. But Florida State could – I'm not a big Zags guy, which I gotta fight that. I don't know why, but I've never.
I think it's because of who they play after December. They just don't play anybody, and you think and to some extent, Mark Few's teams until they got off the schneid and got to the Final Four. You know, Virginia's facing that same image problem nationally that the Zags did, and until you get to the Final Four, you don't shred it. And part of the problem for Gonzaga is, you know, just location, location, location. But Florida State is a team size-wise that really matches up well with them.
Right.
And I think that Florida State will be able to take out Marquette in the second round, get to the second weekend, and I think they can beat Gonzaga. I'm right there with you. Hmm. I've got Florida State getting to the Elite Eight, losing ultimately to Texas Tech. That side of the bracket is more open, very competitive. That's a great call on your part.
Thanks so much, Tim. Thanks for everything.
Thanks, Tim.
Appreciate it.
Yep.
I'm Mully and Haw, and I'm in Naples. What a Monday this is.
And we'll tell the Wonder Grump you said hello.
Yeah, try to enjoy yourself.
The Wonder Grump would be awfully upset.
Thanks, Tim.
Be awfully upset.
See you, buddy. Thanks so much. That's Tim Brando.
Look at
That's
you.
That's his nickname for Dustin.
With another college basketball insight there, picking Florida State.
Hey, man, I'm telling you, the more I stare at this thing, I've got a completely different bracket. My bracket.
your bracket has changed since you announced it at 6:20.
You made me announce it at 6:20. I did an initial run through it. I told you it would be shifting and changing.
Is that pencil? Pundits. Boy, they're wrong a lot, aren't they?
I took Duke as my national champion in the first segment of the show.
Yeah.
Then I had Michigan State beating them.
Right.
Now I'm back to Duke. So it's going to change,
man. I've changed two picks this morning in the course of getting here after having filled it out last night. I've only changed two, and that's I went Wofford over Seton Hall.
Wow.
And then I went Florida over Michigan. I talked myself into both of those after further discussion.
I got Nevada beating Florida now. Okay. Nevada, why aren't we talking more about Nevada?
That's a good question.
They are all seniors. That is a senior-laden team. They got the whatever their name is, twins, they got a lot of good players, man. And they were there last year. And they
have the experience of losing to Loyola.
Of losing to Loyola. They beat them earlier this year.
Okay.
But it's
that's what I was
life
thinking
changes.
Of. Right.
Yeah. All right. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 in the score.
91-76, Clippers by 15. And we're going to have a foul on Harrell as Harrison ran into Harrell. And they say the Harrell was moving his feet at the midcourt line.
Well, they're watching because they missed the Ryan Arcidiacono foul and a pick like that in the first half. Harrell likes to go back and set it. And I love him for doing it. And it's not his fault. And we're going to get a look at it.
Right. Jim Boylan and Doc Rivers having a few words with one another.
Oh, they're both? Did he toss them both?
I believe so, Bill. Jim Boylan and Doc Rivers getting into it. You think this stems from the illegal screens that sent Arcidiacono?
Yep.
And now Jim Boylan is fired up. So Doc Rivers headed to the locker room. Jim Boylan is going to be escorted to the locker room. Bill, I have never seen this in my 21 years where both coaches have been ejected simultaneously.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Yep, Jim Boylan, he and Doc Rivers both ejected. The Clippers ended up beating the Bulls 128-121. And it was followed by another loss yesterday. And now they are headed to Phoenix, the Suns. Was that Friday night? When was that?
Friday night was the ejection. Last night was the surrender.
So the ejection. So Jim Boylan, it gets $7,000 in fines. He gets
two technical fouls and an ejection,
right? Yeah. And that adds up to $7,000. And Zach LaVine says that he wants to pay for it.
Calls John Paxson and says, "Hey, I want to pay for the coaches."
And apparently the Bulls said, "Yeah, okay, you can do that." And they love the idea that this guy that wasn't getting along with players, that Zach LaVine was one of the guys not happy with him, he's now volunteering to pay Jim Boylan's fine because he likes Jim Boylan standing up for players. And Ryan Arcidiacono had been knocked down and hit pretty hard on a screen, and then you got another screen, and that's enough. And here goes Jim Boylan yelling, and
Doc Rivers saying, "Hey, you want
Doc Rivers?
Tell your players to yell out screens."
Yeah, Doc Rivers just did not do really anything, and then immediately both coaches are tossed, which again. As you heard Chuck saying, he hadn't seen that. That was a quick hook, man. Nonetheless, you're not allowed to pay the coach's fines. So it's a violation of NBA rules if Zach LaVine wants to pay it. So the Bulls are going to have Jim Boylan pay it. But, it's nice that the player wants to pay it. The team says, go ahead and pay it. And then the league is going to jump in and say, no.
Well, we want him to pay it. About how far Zach LaVine and Jim Boylan have come in the relationship. And I think when you talk about gestures and symbols and things that are intangible, because that's all you really have to look at with this Bulls season at the end of it, and it can't end soon enough. It was a nice gesture by Zach LaVine. I don't think it was insincere either. Jim Boylan appreciated it.
Well, Jim Boylan said goodbye to everyone when he got thrown out, too.
That was pretty funny.
That was hysterical. Yeah.
He went back and was slapping hands, and he stood up for his players. And he's going to stand up for his players. It's not for everybody. And there is a bit of a mentality, that the toughness that he wants to instill in his players, to see that in him. Is that sustainable? Is that going to go very far with NBA players, with professionals? I don't know. But you do like to see a guy who at least is going to go down with the fight.
And you would think that his team, that was this great bonding moment, and then they came back yesterday. Well, I'm just saying.
Well,
so this happens Friday.
That's what I mean.
Then you got an off day. Then you come back and you're like, hey, that Sacramento team embarrassed us at home. We got to show them. No,
our coach just stood up for us Friday night. This team embarrassed us in December.
129-102.
That's what rings hollow a little bit for me to say, okay, wasn't that a great gesture and didn't that go a long way? But
no,
not so much.
But now you got an opportunity. Tonight is an opportunity. You've got the last game on the road trip. You got to be tired. I think Mitch will be out there, if I'm not mistaken. He's going to be at the game tonight.
Is that right?
Mitch Rosen, yes.
Oh, I think you meant Trubisky.
Oh, I thought you meant Trubisky.
No.
I thought
Mitch Rosen, okay, our guy Mitch.
Our guy Mitch will be at the game.
There's only one Mitch in our hearts.
He's in my heart, certainly. But Trubisky lives in my head.
Yeah, well, you got to free your mind.
And the rest will follow.
There you go.
Tonight's an opportunity for the Bulls to come within one game of the Suns for the be one of the three worst teams in the league.
Mitch is the quarterback of our operation here.
He is.
Mitch Rosen.
actually. He's more like Ryan Trubisky. Pace than he is Mitch Trubisky.
He's Ryan Pace. He's a little more accurate. He's the quarterback. He's the coach. He's got it all.
All right.
He does many different roles.
What would that make you two then if we're playing that game?
I'm Josh Bellamy.
Okay.
So you're leaving town? Is
apparently.
That what you're telling us?
Okay, I'm
Who
Kevin.
And he likes to wear t-shirts White. With his own likeness on it.
Kevin White said goodbye.
Kevin White did.
Yeah.
Instagram post.
Nice.
Teared up. Nice
Head
gesture.
In Arizona.
There again, another gesture.
Another guy out in Arizona. Huh?
He is in Arizona.
It was a pity it didn't work out with him.
I suppose. That's
kind of what he said.
Yeah. It was unfortunate for everybody.
Right.
Well, it's always unfortunate with a player drafted that highly.
He's a bust.
Exactly.
He was a bust.
I would agree.
Let's not get sentimental here, Mullen.
Sure. Well,
okay.
No.
I mean, I know that's a problem for you.
Hold on. You know how
Bleeding
sentimental
heart that you are.
Is he a bust or is he a medical? Because there's
he's
difference.
A bust. No.
The difference between a guy that flat out can't play versus a guy that can't be healthy.
Not really.
It's both. It's the same.
Is he a medical bust?
If you're drafted in the top 10.
Can't play bust.
If you're drafted in the 10.
Was he seventh?
And you can't play, regardless of the reason.
That's
it's a bust.
Right outside the top five to me.
It sets your franchise back.
All right. Okay.
So, yeah, Kevin White is gone. So, I don't know who we are in that equation. If Mitch is our quarterback, Mitch Rosen is our quarterback, then we are...
I'm Frank Kush. Oh, he's gone too. Damn it.
Am I Shaheen?
You're Adam Shaheen?
Oh, I hope not. Then you'd be a bust, too.
Exactly.
I'm Trey Burton. Just don't ask
me
to
talk. I'm Deion Sims.
Just don't turn the red light on.
you're Trey Burton. You just don't want to meet the big moment.
No.
You're just going to disappear with a playoff game.
Come on. He was injured.
He's going to show up in the first half.
He had nausea. He was injured.
Can you see that? That's dead air there.
What's that? What's the air?
Where I'm supposed to speak, but I can't because the red light's on.
Oh, yeah. He just froze up.
I just froze.
Wow.
You can't see that.
That's so mean.
That is mean.
Was he injured or did he freeze up, Joe? Which have you decided which that was?
Does it matter?
Okay. But the whole game plan was built around
now
him.
Now the Kevin White thing now or the Trey
No,
Burton?
We're talking about Trey Burton.
Okay.
David says he's Trey Burton.
Oh, asking the question. I'm more like Parky today.
Oh, my God.
Doink!
Wow.
I forced you into doing your Final Four before you were ready.
I you know what? I'm glad you did because now it's all coming. I'm getting much more clarity.
You're covering all your bases.
Yeah. You know what I did? I had Ray print me out another fresh
14
bracket.
14 brackets there.
And then as long as he was doing it, I said, you know, why don't you give me another one?
You know, you're
so I got two more that I'm going to scratch through.
You're avoiding the most important decision, though.
What's that?
Survivor.
Oh, yeah. Well, let me tell you something. If I get in the Survivor poll, it's a big question because every year it seems to go to some guy's family member. I'm not naming names, Chad Feldman. But,
what name is this? I've never seen this person around the office.
You know, Sucker Mulligan is the first guy to pick, and I'm always like, well, you know, that 13 seed's got a shot because I'm trying to win the tournament.
Get the points, yeah.
Here's what I'm going to do this year. If I'm in it and I haven't decided, I'm taking Duke. I'm taking Duke to win a bloody
first
game.
Round?
That's it. I'm going to burn Duke just because I've never lasted into the second round, Joe.
It makes sense.
For like 5 years, I get eliminated in the first game.
Zero sense,
no,
David.
I've just got to survive. It's a survivor pool.
It does. Hey, Joe, when we come back after your update, we're going to talk to Dave Reynolds from the Peoria Journal-Star, cool. Who found himself in the news where no reporter wants to be this weekend.
Brown. Low house, good if it goes, that's it! Cranley has gone to the NCAA tournament for the first time in 13 years! The biggest comeback in Missouri Valley Conference title game history!
Mully at Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, and we are delighted to welcome in Dave Reynolds. He with the newspaper down in Peoria,
the Journal Star,
and he joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram Hotline, home of $7,000 off on Jeeps. And Dave, you know, always a scary moment when a reporter becomes the story, never what you want, but you did become the story, however quickly, when when Brian Wardle decided to ban you, denied you access to Friday's media day for Bradley because he didn't like the fact that you wouldn't wear pom-poms while typing. And apparently took umbrage with act like you've been there before. I like that the university president, Gary Roberts, had to come out and issue an apology after that. But, you know, what a real – and they got a ton of grief over it, Dave. But not a pleasant moment for you, I imagine.
Morning, Dave.
Good morning, guys. Hey, it's been surreal this last 3 days. I'm glad it's over and we can move on and I can cover Bradley in the NCAA tournament for the first time in 13 years. And, you know, I've been in this business more than 40 years and I've never dealt with anything remotely close to this. It's, it's kind of sad. It all came to this with, the ban it was kind of heartwarming how much people around the country, supported me and supported what I was going through.
Dave, can you take us through the process beginning with Friday? I know that on Saturday it seems there's issued an apology from the university. I think it's difficult to unring a bell, but they did make a gesture. From Friday through yesterday, when you actually, from what I understand, met with Coach Wardle, could you take us through that whole weekend?
Yeah, it really started, this whole thing really started before Friday. I'd been kind of dealing with this exclusion from their media events pretty much the last month of the season. And I just tried to ride it out thinking, season's almost over. I can get through this. Maybe we can sit down and start fresh for next year. But then they sent a media availability email to our sports editor Thursday and said, well, we got something going Friday. And, of course, he assumed, okay, this is kind of their olive branch because they'd not been sending me these for a few weeks. And they're thinking, I'm thinking, okay, well, they're giving this to the newspaper to send whoever we want. Well, so I went, of course. I covered the team for 29 years, so I would assume I'd be the one to go to the press conference.
Yeah.
Not even a press conference, just an availability to talk to players before practice. But and I got there and asked to talk to a player and was pulled aside by the sports information guy and said that, you're not welcome here. And then throughout the comment of I'm not promoting the Bradley brand and we don't want you here, asking questions and writing stories about our team. And so that was, I'd heard that before from him, not quite in those words. The promoting the Bradley brand really stuck in my craw, obviously. And Brian was there. Brian Wardle was there. I talked to him. He basically echoed the same remarks, and I was asked to leave. So I did, and I was pretty furious. Called my sports editor, and he said, "Well, we got to write about this." And I said, "I don't know if I'm emotionally equipped to do this at the moment. It's just very difficult." Anyway, so they had a couple other guys at the paper that addressed it and put together a very complete and very supportive story, which turned into a series of stories about this whole issue. And I guess, long story short, yesterday, Wardle and the athletic director, Chris Reynolds, who was on the NCAA selection committee and came back early for this, they both had me in Brian's office, and they both issued very sincere apologies and the desire to move on. And I was restored full access to the covering the team, and that's all I ever wanted. I didn't want anything special, just to be able to cover the team like I always have.
Do your job.
What was his problem with you, Brian Wardle? What did you write, or what did you, what does he expect from a journalist that you didn't deliver to him?
Throughout his tenure, he had always used the expression, you're always looking for the negative, you know, and you don't write positive stuff about our team, which is really, I mean, and I always answer him, I said, Brian, I'm just writing the story of your team, whether that's positive, negative, neutral, I don't really care. I'm just trying to tell people, Bradley or Peoria is a huge basketball community, yep. as you know, and they've embraced this team for decades very well. And, you know, the strong fan base and those, a lot of those people are our readers, and that's who I want to serve is, and I tell them, I said, Brian, I'm not writing for you. I'm not writing for Bradley. I'm writing for all those people that buy our paper to read about what's going on with your team. And, you know, we've been hot and cold over the years, and I'd like to think that we've moved into a whole new world here because now they see what they've caused. I mean, it's been a national
Well, they have a brand
phenomenon.
Now. they have that. A brand
yeah,
now.
It's just amateur hour, doesn't it? Look, it's like the old line, act like you've been there before. To pull something like that takes away from that. Right? From the glory of the season and getting
it
into
does.
The tournament.
And I think
it's such a negative, and now they're going to play Michigan State, so
and Dave,
it'll be
I think
over quick.
What the unfortunate thing is that you look at a year ago, and Loyola showed the value and power what happens to a university, how it can galvanize a university community when you embrace the attention that comes with it. Even though not all of it is going to be positive or exactly the way you want it to go, and here Bradley is a year later as if that never happened, as if they ignored the entire Loyola experience. And I think Shannon Ryan put it well yesterday in the Tribune when she wrote a column and said, you know, when you're trying to become Cinderella, don't behave like an evil stepsister.
That was a great line. Yeah. It's just all so surreal to me that it happened this way. And that became such a big story. Charlie Steiner, one of Bradley's favorite alums, called and told me I was a national hero for my profession, which I think is a little over the top, but it did spark a lot of talk about free press and issues way beyond a coach and a beat writer squabbling.
That's the name of their school, right? The Charlie Steiner School of Broadcasting?
It is.
So
it is, yes.
Nice
exactly.
to hear from him. Nice to hear it
yeah.
from the man whose name's on the school.
Dave, before we let you go, obviously this is a big moment, not only for Bradley, but you're covering the NCAA tournament for the first time in 13 years at Bradley, I believe. Will it be difficult for you to be objective after everything that you've gone through this weekend?
Not really. I mean, I'd like to think yesterday before, you know, when we had our talk and I got those sincere apologies from both Brian and Chris, I'm not a person to hold grudges. You know, I don't think you can survive very long in this business if you are. And I'm not a, you know, I'm kind of a low-key, unassuming person that just wants to do his job. And, when you've been a reporter for 40 years, you're able to turn on that objectivity, I guess. You know, I mean, it's part of you. And so I won't have any problem. It's a great bunch of kids. You know, the fan base is tremendous. So, I just think about all those people when I'm writing my stories. And now that I have full access, I should be able to do it well.
All right, Dave. Thanks a ton. Thanks for
enjoy the ride. Thanks
on.
A lot, yep. Dave.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
That's Dave Reynolds, Peoria Journal star.
Yeah, tough spot to be in. Got kind of thrust in the forefront of this.
You become the story.
Pettiness.
Terrible.
Yeah, really
and
ridiculous.
It is so petty. It's just Brian Wardle. It's a black mark on him, and he's got a couple of them now, right?
Yeah, it is. And I know we get a couple of texters saying that, you know, well, you know, nobody outside of journalism cares about this. I don't know. I mean, I think it affects the brand of a program, of a university. I can relate to this a little bit, Molly. I spent 11 years in South Bend, you know, covering Notre Dame for the South Bend Tribune. It's a very much the same type of relationship or expectation about when you have a local newspaper and a university athletic program. And there were times where you run afoul of coaches. Bob Davey and I never had a good relationship and other guys. And yet the people in the athletic administration always took a professional view of the job you had to do. It's not hard, but it takes some maturity.
When you report fake news, you are the enemy of the people.
Ooh. Oh, boy. But you know, it's funny.
What I mean, though? You have to be professional.
Well, I mean, look, people have their grudges, right? So I don't think Bradley thought they were going to be in the NCAA tournament. They started 0-5 in their conference play, and then they came back, and they had a pretty good end to the season and won the tournament and get into the NCAAs. And instead of embracing that and having a fairy tale type season, it's like, well, now we're going to get somebody that we think we
can show him.
Exactly. It's like,
look
it's
at
the
us
grudges.
Now.
It's the grudges. Yeah. And you heard Dave say that as a journalist, he doesn't hold grudges. I didn't know you couldn't hold grudges as a journalist. My problem.
No, that was news.
What's the Irish Alzheimer's? You can only remember your grudges, or you can't remember your grudges. One or the other. All right, we're gonna bring in Tanny Connor.
I did have to chuckle when he said that. Yeah. Really?
Yeah. You looked at me like I remember every grudge I ever had. And I got a bunch of them. You don't kid yourself. All right, we'll do a little transition next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.